Fidget spinners may be all the rage right now, but if your hands are free, maybe it's time for a bigger challenge, something requiring a little more skill and dedication. The yo-yo. This pastime has grown significantly in the Czech Republic since the early days, that is, around the year 2000. And a man who knows a thing or two about that is Jan Kordovský, also known as Korda, a former national champ and owner of Yo-Yo Store in Prague. I met up with Korda this week at his store in the capital to discuss the history of the hobby as well as his yo-yo business. And at the end, he'll also show me a couple tricks.
The scene, for example, in the U.S., where it's the largest, started in the 1930s. But this trend got to the Czech Republic in like early 2000s. So the community didn't have the chance to form or grow massive or have the tradition and heritage of the U.S. scene. But compared to other places in Europe, we're fairly big.
I read that a couple people or a small group of people were kind of instrumental at first in bringing modern yo-yos over. Is that correct?
Yeah, the first 5 years of Czech scene, it was basically up to 50 people who even knew what a modern yo-yo, which you can do tricks with, what it is. And the major boom came in 2010-ish. And it's a worldwide trend for the past 60 or 70 years that there's always a yo-yo boom, and then it just goes down again, and then 10 years later there's another yo-yo boom. The community grows, and it works as a yo-yo. It's just up and down all the time.
What are some of the factors for these different booms over the decades or over generations?
I think it's basically just the need of a new generation to play with something mechanic and not digital, and to do something creative and to actually form social groups around the thing. Which is, yo-yos are a great example of how to make social connections to other, for example, classmates. Because you basically, every single person comes up with different tricks once they're past some point of beginner point. So they go home from school, then they look at on the internet or they just play with the yo-yo, come up with something. And then next day they come to school and they show it to friends, to their friends, who then learn it from them. And they grew their skill exponentially. And the more people you have in your social circle who play with it, the better you get, basically.
Nowadays you can do something and you can post it or you can show it in real time.
Yeah, exactly. When I started in 2003, there were two or three sites where you could go and look at pictures or drawings of where each string goes and how to perform a trick, a basic trick. I still find it more useful, but the current generation of kids, they just look at YouTube or even Facebook live streaming and they learn tricks from that. There are people who make tutorials which are slowed down and you exactly see where each string goes, and it's very, you have different angles and it's all very technical and complicated. But the current generation uses it quite a lot, and it speeds up the learning of the tricks massively.
Is there an orthodoxy to it? Because I know there's different levels or different styles, especially in competition. Are there some things that every person has to know sort of first before they break the rules, or is it completely out there?
Yeah, first you need to learn how to tie it to your finger, because if you do it, if you don't do it properly, the yo-yo is just going to fly off and you're going to break it. And then you need to learn a trick called the sleeper, which is actually making it, throwing it, and it starts to spin at the end of the string, and then you can do basically anything with it.
That's the one where you basically use it and it comes back.
Yeah, it's the only trick that everyone needs to know. You throw it, and it starts to spin, and then you can start doing stuff with it.
I imagine, though, that for a lot of people, children or teens even, in the past, they didn't get over that hump. Many of us had yo-yos, but we never really learned how to use them properly. We didn't pursue it to the extent that we should have, perhaps.
Yeah, one of the most common noises in the store is this, which is basically kids trying to throw it, and they just drop it on the ground, and it doesn't work, and they give up, which is one of the biggest issues with yo-yos, that the entry-level skill is quite large, and you need to be patient, you need to want to learn it, to actually learn it, because if you don't want to do it and you just want to try it, it's quite difficult to start.
You started with yo-yos in 2003. How old were you then, and what was your first impression?
I was 13, and I found somewhere on the internet that these guys are meeting in that park, which I told you earlier about. And so I decided to sneakily and secretly go to the other side of Prague to this meeting. I had to use the underground when I was 12, completely alone, and go to a place where I'd never been before.
And this was the meeting where the first sort of yo-yo fanatics were getting together.
Yeah, exactly. And there was a bunch of like 10 or 15 people just standing around in the circle chatting and playing with yo-yos. So I cautiously approached them and sort of liked them because they're super nice and they are nerdy, because people who play with yo-yos have to be. It's kind of a technical toy which you have to appreciate to like. And it sort of clicked, and I started going every single week and then made friends, and it just grew and grew. And then in 2014, we did the World Yo-Yo Contest.
What was the first yo-yo you had in your hat, in fact?
The first yo-yo I had was a Duncan Pro Fire, which is no longer made, and it doesn't have a ball bearing in the middle. It has a transaxle, and it didn't work that well, but it was fun to use because I was 13 and a lot of simple stuff is fun to use. You can learn stuff, and you gradually grow into it, and you create muscle memory to do tricks and to figure out how it works.
It must be kind of quite a satisfying feeling, I guess, in anything that requires practice or study, patience, as you said, whether you're a musician or a skateboarder or anything, a competitor. It must be very satisfying when you finally nail something for the first time. Is that the case? You've been trying some complicated or even inventing a complicated move, and then the first time you hit it perfect, you know you've done it, right?
Yeah, definitely. That's one of the best feelings you have when you're really invested into playing with yo-yos when you're a teenager and you learn something or you're trying to learn something. I remember that I spent 2 or 3 nights, like literally I went to bed at 5 a.m. because I was trying to understand from the pictures I was looking at how it works and how to do it. And when I finally made it, it was perfect.
Yo-yos are a big part of your life, and it's also your business, your profession.
We started in 2009, and we launched the website in early 2010. So it's actually more than 5 years now. It's 7. We just said, yeah, we like yo-yos. There aren't many of them available in Czech, so let's try to do a website which sells them.
So it was a website before it was a stone and mortar shop.
Yep, we started with a website, and that within a year we had too much stuff which we couldn't fit into my room, basically. So I was looking for a place to store things, and a place near my house showed up, and it was reasonably priced, and it had a storage room, and coincidentally it had a front room which could act as a store as well. So we got it, and people started coming in to my surprise. So it grew and grew, and we had to move to a larger place, more centrally located.
That sounds like the ideal way to begin a business these days, at least in some sectors, because you know the demand is there when you get so many orders and the website alone is not enough, and then you have to move into a larger space. That sounds ideal to me.
Yeah, I'm not complaining, and it's such a niche and nerdy thing that not many larger businesses understand it. So even though there were attempts to take over the Czech scene with massive retail attempts, no one succeeded because they don't know anything about it, and you need to talk to the people, to your customers, and you need to explain them what's it all about. And it's kind of a safe haven for us because no one can. We know the trade and we know how it works, so there's no hostile enemy which can take us over, which is cool.
For somebody who's just starting out, for a teenager, do they need to have a high quality yo-yo?
If you want to start and you decide that you're going to be as good as the yo-yo, so if you decide to get the more expensive ones, the metal ones, which the competitors use, it's the worst thing you could do, because it's just not going to work for you, and you're going to break it within 5 minutes. Just get the stuff that people recommend as beginner yo-yos. You can get them for a couple of hundred crowns. They work perfectly. They will last you a year after you beat all the tricks that you can do on it. And it's just listen to the professionals. Stick to basic plastic beginner yo-yos, which we have tried and over the years, and we know they work.
Is there an aspect of collecting to it as well?
Yeah, definitely. It's a massive thing. But at this point, you would have to have a pretty massive collection to be considered a collector. Uh-huh. Me personally, I own over 300 yo-yos, and I'm definitely not a collector. Yeah, it's just stuff that I found interesting, and I just keep it in a box somewhere. It's definitely not on a wall somewhere.
And what sort of plays a role in your decision? Is it just like different designs or curious designs or something unexpected or different factors?
I think we're getting into the nerd sector. It's just, when you throw it, you find it interesting and how it behaves. Maybe there's a story behind the yo-yo. I have some which were made for some like benefit reliefs and stuff like this. So I just got it because I found the cause interesting. There are some by some players which I like, so I got it. Stuff like this.
I understand what you're saying. You wouldn't tell it from looking at me today, but I used to do a lot of mountain biking. Mm-hmm. And I went through many, many different bikes. And every bike, based on the material, had a different soul or characteristic. Each one brought something different to the table.
Yeah, exactly. A normal person would consider me crazy, but there are different aspects to it. And I can do whatever I want.
I guess it wouldn't be complete if I didn't ask you to maybe show me a couple tricks. Unfortunately, we're radio.
I think taping the sound is kind of interesting. There was a time when the yo-yoing wasn't so big. There was a thing called the yo-yo radio in the US. And it was a super nerdy thing because they played a game called Name That Yo-Yo. And they actually, if you know stuff, they actually sound differently. And you could guess the make and the model of the yo-yo from the sound it makes. When you throw the thing, it doesn't just come back, it starts to spin at the end of the string and makes this super annoying whiny sound, which I was perfectly used to, but the parents, they hate it. Some of them come in and say, "Don't you have something which is quiet? It drives me insane." I understand why it's annoying. So then when you throw it, you can do some stuff.
Wow.
You can maybe hear how it changes the...
And what are the moves that you're doing now? Because to someone like myself, who has no experience with the yo-yo, it looks amazing already. What was that you just did for us?
That was a front style combo, and it's included Mach 5, Boingy Boingy, and other tricks, which don't even have names. And it was a really simple routine. There is a trick called Rock the Baby, which a lot of people in the West know because
yes,
it's a super easy thing, which is us rocking the yo-yo there and forth.
And I've heard of walking the dog.
Yeah, walking the dog, exactly. You basically have the yo-yo and you launch it on the ground and then you make it come back. And there is also a trick which makes an interesting noise. It's called a gyroscopic flop. And you make the yo-yo rotate in a different axis.
Very cool. Okay, well, I want to thank you again so much for taking the time to talk to us. It's been a lot of fun. And until next time.
My pleasure. Thank you.